And I had friends that would say, like, that takes people years to go from where you were to where you went in 6 months. How did you do it? And the answer was, is I trusted myself. And I allowed the mechanics of our brain to help me reprogram myself to get the results that I wanted in life. And this is something that everybody can do. So that's where I'm at today. It's like, I am so passionate about helping people understand that we have all of the answers. We have all of the capabilities. We have everything we need inside of our brain. We just need to know how to use it.
Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go. Welcome back to another episode of Life After Corporate, my friend. And if you're new to our show, welcome home. Today, we're talking about how to master the matter between your ears, also known as your mindset. You've heard it said that success as an entrepreneur is 80% mindset, 20% mechanics. And today, my guest, Rebecca Hogan, is going to help us unpack that a bit and understand what these inner workings are that are responsible for the success that you crave. Rebecca Hogan is a master coach of neuro-linguistic programming, also known as NLP. She is a talent optimization partner with the Predictive Index, and she is a dynamic force in personal transformation. She is also a certified hypnotherapist, a purpose coach, and a psychosensory therapist, among others, and her expertise is really unparalleled. And what I love about Rebecca is that she's taken all of these different modalities and combined them into integrated solutions where she works with clients on their personal transformation. And usually personal transformation is accompanied by some sort of professional transformation, relationship transformation. You can't transform just a piece of yourself and not have everything else follow. So she combines these diverse modalities and works with high-achieving women leaders to transcend mindset, unlocking limitless potential. So Rebecca, welcome to Life After Corporate. I'm thrilled to have you here today.
Oh, thank you so much, Deb. I am excited to be here with you today.
Yeah, so it's been a pleasure working with you, seeing your journey unfold. And I know you don't have the traditional corporate background of working for a corporation and then deciding to go for entrepreneurship. You've been experiencing entrepreneurship your entire life. Tell us about your most recent pivot.
Yeah, well, it started, I started taking over my family business in a very male-dominated industry as a young woman. And I had to constantly prove myself, prove my worth, find my seat at the table and prove that I was capable of having a voice. So I've been having to really express that my whole life, fight for that. And after that, I moved into another family-owned business in the distribution background. And again, being a female in a very male-dominated industry, fighting for my voice. And there was a moment in my life that started really around the time that my kids were applying for college and they were trying to figure out what do they want to do with their lives. And they felt like it was like the biggest decision they were ever going to make, and they were going to be stuck there in that decision for the rest of their life. And I had to look at my life in that moment, because here I am giving them advice saying, like, it's not a decision that you're going to have to live with forever. This is a moment in time. This is just part of the journey. You don't have to take it so seriously. And then here I was in my life, like stuck in this moment for 20 years of being all the things for everybody. And I realized that I was not living my life for me. And it was really in that moment that I realized, like, something has to change. I need to start doing something that brings me joy. And that was really the beginning of the story that turned into Marca Vita and the brand that I'm creating here, which, to share a little bit of background on that, Deb knows Marca is, so Mark is, or Marca is a translation of brand, and Vita is life. And so Marca Vita is really about living your life, being authentic to your true self. And how do you show up in the world as your authentic self and living your purpose, fortunately, courageously, fearlessly? And that's what I work with people on, is how do we show up as our highest self every day, bringing purpose and meaning to our lives?
Yeah, it's so poignant, you know, that moment when your kids are grown up and they're going to college, and then that in just organically starts to ignite something in you, like, well, what's my next phase? What's my purpose now? What am I going after? I went through something similar when Jared went to college. I remember grabbing my journal and sitting down at the kitchen table and say, okay, Deb, what's next? And that's where a lot of the business model that we have today was born, in that moment. So it's so interesting. I never heard anyone else say, you know, I started to question things when my kids went to college. So I assume that part of your personal transformation and learning all these different modalities around mindset and perception and who we are as individuals and identity, was that something that you pursued on your own at that time?
Yes. Yes. And it was really, this whole process was so intuitive, guiding me to what lights me up, right? Because in that time, whenever I realized that something had to change, and I realized how much I dreaded getting out of bed every day, going into this office, working 15 hours a day so that I could have all the things that everybody said would make me happy. And I could check the list, and I knew that I had all of the stuff and I still didn't enjoy my life. And so I had to pause, because otherwise the only other answer I could come up with was running away. And that wasn't a good answer. So I worked really hard for the life that I had. And so running away didn't really seem like a great option. So it was a pause. I had to just stop and actually take inventory of my life, my emotions. And I realized that I had been so much in that cycle of go, 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 do, 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 hard, 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 prove, 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 that I had no clue what I wanted, who I was. I completely lost touch with the ambitious, visionary young woman who wanted to change the world, that believed in like magic. I mean, I'm so far back into, you know, my teenage years, like, I believed in the magic of our mind. Whenever I was 15 years old, I knew if I thought about something deep enough, if I visualized it enough, I knew I could make it happen. And somewhere in between, I gave my power away trying to prove my worth to people. And so it was that pause where I said, I need to stop and just know what I want, because I had been giving that away for so long that I went down this path of needing to understand more about myself. And it started just really getting in touch with myself. How do I had been drinking, and this is what led to my I don't really refer to it as sober deaths, but it led to my alcohol-free lifestyle, my life of clarity, shall we say. Because I realized that I'd been drowning my emotions. I had been muting my emotions. So I decided I needed to stop using that crutch and just get in touch with myself. And it was raw. And it was painful. And it was, I refer to it as, I was wearing my skin inside out. And wow, everything rubbed up against me. If you looked at me the wrong way, if you said the wrong thing, my husband would come in and he would say, what time is dinner? And that to me was like, you know, in my head, I heard it as, when is dinner? I'm hungry. You're not working fast enough. His little question, when is dinner, turned into that. And I would have to calm myself down. I just breathe And this is getting in touch with myself. I was using the tools within myself that seemed to work, and I expanded on them. And like in that moment, I would go, calmly take a breath, and I would say, it will be 30 minutes later than I had originally planned. And I would walk out of the kitchen and I would go upstairs and get on the elliptical machine. And I would go into a zone and I would tune out the whole world and the whole household. Do not interrupt me in that moment, because it was that moment that I was shifting my mindset. I was stepping out of that and allowing myself to feel what I was feeling, understand the meaning that I was giving the three words that he asked me, or four words, you know, and how I turned them into this big story in my head that created all of these horrible emotions, that horrible depleting emotions that made me feel bad. And what role was I playing in it? There were all these things that I would unpack in that moment. And I realized, like, I went through this process intuitively. It took about 6 months from the time that I started to the time that people were looking at me going, oh my gosh, what did you change? And the only answer I had, the only answer I had was nothing except my perspective.
Wow. I think the most amazing part of this, as I'm listening to you, is that you came to this conclusion by just listening to your body, really, and, you know, understanding that alcohol is so numbing, and we all have numbing addictions, whether it's watching TV. Some people use exercise as a numbing addiction as well to escape. So some of them are more socially acceptable than others. But, you know, to have that awareness that my life isn't working, I'm numbing myself out. And I think so many women do this because, oh my God, if we all shine so bright, if we all gave everything we had to every day, oh my God, you know, that would disrupt the entire universe, because we're taught from a very young age that we are supposed to be less than, we are supposed to, you know, fit to norms and not be as gregarious or as outspoken or as creative as our male counterparts. And the fact that you came at this and you saw the triggers, you know, because most people are on automatic pilot and they don't notice those triggers. And you went up on the elliptical to reset, you know, what am I making up about this story, and reset it and then come back differently. That I think is just incredible.
Well, I'll share with you, Deb, that up until that point in my life, I would say I would have a switch. I would just turn on, turn off. In every area of my life, when things got hard, turn off. When I didn't like something, turn off. And I would turn the switch off and I would mute. I would dim everything, including myself. And I would just walk away, like literally just stop the emotions, walk away. And there was a moment where I remembered something that my dad had said to me whenever I was like, you know, 17 or 18, complaining about people in my life and things happening, you know, all the drama. And my dad said to me, if you don't change yourself, you will just be exchanging names and faces, and you will have the same results for the rest of your life. And so I was literally about ready to flip that switch to say, I'm done. And I don't like this life. This is not what I wanted. And I was going to just start over from scratch, like literally. Like I was literally going, okay, I can grab a suitcase and I can grab that. And I was taking inventory. I was looking up, where can I move to? And I stopped for a second and thought, well, wait a minute. If I don't change myself, I will just be exchanging faces and names and I'm going to be right back here again. Yeah. And it was really that advice that my dad had given me 25 years before in that moment, that I was like, you know what? I'm not going to flip the switch off. I'm actually going to explore this. And that was for me the cue to actually be aware, because the self-awareness did not exist before that. And it was the choice in that moment that I am actually going to understand what role I play in this, because I don't want to be the victim of my life.
Yep. You know, it's so many people succumb to circumstance and focus on blaming outside events for their personal situation, whether it's their feelings, like, why did you make me feel bad? Or, you know, I am stuck in this job, or it's the economy, or it's the pandemic, or it's everything else outside of me and not me. And so what I'm curious about, I'm sure our listeners are curious about as well, is what did you do next once you had this level of awareness? Because you have certifications, like a laundry list of certifications and different modalities. I mean, I'm always amazed every time I excitedly say, oh my God, I discovered this. This is so cool. Rebecca's like, oh, I'm certified in that. So, so how did you start this journey? And what led you to this really wanting to understand the science of the mind?
Yeah, so it was, again, a very intuitive moment. COVID happened. My kids got sent home from college. And they were complaining that, you know, oh, our life's on hold. I don't get to see my friends, you know, all the things. And I looked at them and I said, oh my gosh, look how much time we just got back in our day. Like, I don't have to drive an hour every day to work. I don't have to sit. It literally would take me an hour to drive 15 miles in LA traffic to get to work every day. I was like, I just gained back 2 hours out of my day. We can do so many things with this. This is a time, like, all of the judgment, all of the fear, all of the expectations are on pause. Like, guys, you can explore anything right now. And so I offered to them that I would pay for them to do any course that they wanted to online. You can learn anything that has ever slightly piqued your interest. I will pay for that course. And I will pay you for taking the course, for investing in yourself in this time. As long as you share a conversation with me, I just want to sit down over lunch and talk about what you learned about yourself and what you learned new about something. Neither of them took me up on it. So I decided I'm going to be the example. So I went online and I started looking up courses, and I was actually going to look up a course on programming, like I want to make apps. And I always have these ideas about making things better, being in business, and you know, this path I've been on my whole life, it's always been, how do I improve things? So I was looking up programming, and then neuro-linguistic programming popped up in my feed. And I said, what the heck? We can program our brains? What? This is real? And so I signed up for it. And I learned that all of these things that I did intuitively, the ways that I took pause, the identity shift that I made whenever I chose to stop drinking, all of these different things, the reason why exercise made me feel good, why it was able to calm down my nervous system, all of these things are explained by science. And there is actually, like, it's like an owner's manual for our brain. And I was like, what the heck? The whole world needs to know this. And it became, in that moment, my mission to learn as much as I could about these things so that I could tie them together and really help bring this to people in a way that makes sense, that makes it easy. Because so many people told me that the shift that they saw in me in 6 months, we work with business mentors and different coaches, and they told me that, like, and I had friends that would say, like, that takes people years to go from where you were to where you went in 6 months. How did you do it? And the answer was, I trusted myself. I went inside and I allowed the mechanics of our brain to help me reprogram myself to get the results that I wanted in life. And this is something that everybody can do. So that's where I'm at today. It's like, I am so passionate about helping people understand that we have all of the answers. We have all of the capabilities. We have everything we need inside of our brain. We just need to know how to use it. Just the same way that we need to know how to use a computer. You know, you can have the best computer in the world, but if you don't give it the right instructions, if you don't install the right programs on it, you are not going to get any results. You will have a black monitor sitting in front of you doing nothing.
And most of the people in the world today are dealing with outdated programs.
Yes. The ones that were installed back whenever we were
children,
right? Yes, exactly.
So yeah. Let's talk about, you know, fascinated by NLP, and I'm sure people who aren't familiar with neuro-linguistic programming would be curious about what does NLP mean? And so just a quick explanation about that. And then let's talk about going beyond mindset, right? So mindset, you know, people, I think, have very surface level understandings of what mindset really is. And some people might put a label on it and say, well, it means think positive, you know, look at the positive side of things, or taking into account things like positive psychology. But neurolinguistic programming, hypnotherapy, those types of practices that you are studied in go so much deeper. So can you just bring us on that journey? First of all, what is NLP? And then let's peel back the layers of mindset into what it really means to change your mind.
Awesome. Yes. So neurolinguistic programming, the communication of our brain, right? Neuro is brain, linguistic is language, and programming is behavior, right? So how does the language of our brain create the behavior in our life? And these are our programs. And so what, as it relates to mindset, let's start with mindset. So mindset, like you said, so many people think of mindset as I just need to think good. I need to think good thoughts. I need to be positive about everything. And that takes effort. That takes effort. And we're trying to think our way into our results. And what we understand and know with neuro-linguistic programming is that we have a conscious mind, our thinking mind, and then we have our unconscious or subconscious, our less than conscious mind. Those words interchangeable in this example. So if you think about an iceberg, whenever we see an iceberg, there's a tiny tip at the top that we see. And then under the water, there is this huge mass beneath the water that you can't see. That is how our brain works. We have our conscious mind, which is the tip, which is about 5% of how our brain functions. And then we've got the stuff below the surface, which is 95% of how we operate. And that is freaking amazing, because let me tell you, if we had to think about breathing, I know I'd be dead like within seconds if I had to think about breathing. So our unconscious mind handles all of our nervous system, all of our body functions, all of these autonomous things going on in our body. It also is there to protect us. And so it creates all of these programs to keep us safe. And those programs are what spits out our behavior. And so I tell people, we can't think our way to positivity because we have all of these programs and this huge mass that's under the surface that is trying to protect us. And these programs were installed whenever we were children. They are things from examples that we've seen different ways in our narrow and limited experience of life at that point, but were put in place to protect us. And now we have new experiences, we have new skills, we have new capabilities, we have new environments, and those same programs might not be serving us anymore. And they might actually be getting in the way of, and most of the time they are, getting in the way of our success, our ability to enjoy life, our ability to be positive. So mindset we see is like on the surface, and we really need to go below the surface to figure out, what do I make that automatic? Because we are operating, when you look at that 95 to 5% ratio, we are 95% of the time on autopilot.
So, and autopilot is operating on past experiences, past beliefs, past thinking. And so when you make the leap to entrepreneurship and everything is new, your automatic thinking no longer works. And so you have to consciously explore where the behaviors are coming from, where the fear is coming from, because we feel it as fear, we feel it as insecurity, we feel it as doubt, we feel it is confusion. So all of those physical manifestations of mind are because you've never been in exactly this place before. And so there is no operating system for showing up the way you're showing up today. And so you've been through this. You had to rewrite your operating system to go from being part of a family business to starting and running a business of your own. What else have you learned and employed along the way? Because, I mean, have you ever felt doubt, confusion, fear, insecurity? Rebecca's laughing.
I mean, it's like the horizon, right? We can get out on a boat and we can sail out into the sun and towards the sun, and we are never going to reach that destination. So we are constantly upgrading our operating system. We are constantly reprogramming. We're constantly running into these ways that our magnificent brain is trying to protect us. And so, yes, I run into it all the time, and you have to unpack it, you know. And one of the things that I like to talk about and that has been a situation for me is that we act like we're starting from scratch all of the time. So like you said, you know, we don't have the program for that. But it's kind of like saying, well, I use scissors to open a bag in the kitchen. Then you're in your closet and you want to cut the little strings off of your shirt, your blouse that keeps it on the hanger. And you still can use the same scissors. You know how to use scissors. You know how to use those tools. You just have to make the connection between the tools and this new experience. And so much of it is recognizing the past experiences and how they apply to these new experiences so that we can be in the identity, that state of knowing that we know how to move through this. So it's, again, goes back to that self-trust, initial self-trust that put me on this journey to start off with, is that I have all the tools. I have everything I need within me. And my unconscious mind, my patterns, my autopilot will tell me I don't have those tools. And then through other like psychosensory tools, different tools that will stop the nervous system going in that fight, flight, or freeze, that protective mode, I stop it and then look within. How do I connect with that? What resources do I have? What is my evidence that I actually can do this, because I know I can do this? Because whatever I've dealt with, we look back in our corporate lives or our past lives, we've dealt with so many struggles. Whenever we have to prove that we are capable of answering a question that people would just automatically expect our male counterpart to just be able to answer and they would trust the answer, we have had to put all of the evidence behind it, and we've had to, And we've had to prove why our answer is just as valid as someone else's answer. And so we know how to get past struggle, and we know how to get past hard. And it's stopping in that moment, just stop down regulating the nervous system to allow ourselves to go into past experiences, those past behaviors, and say, where have I done this before? And how can I apply it? Or where have I done something similar? I call it borrowing and bending. We do it in marketing. We do it in business. Let's do it in our brain so that we can get better results, right? We borrow and bend. I've done it before, kind of. I can take that same concept and apply it to what I'm doing now.
You mentioned the nervous system regulators. What do you mean by that?
Okay. So our brain, and it's beautiful attempt to keep us safe, you know, we have this response that we call the fight, flight, or freeze. It's our amygdala. It's like, it's recognizing whether or not we are in danger. And it creates neurochemicals that flow through our body that prepare us for that fight or that flight, to run or to slow everything down, to freeze. And in those moments, whenever we're facing those fear, whenever we're that lack of confidence, that is when our nervous system kicks in to say, let me protect you. And we go into that fight, flight, or freeze. And it can show up as, I mean, it takes us outside of our creative brain and it puts us into survival mode. And whenever we're in survival mode, it really creates a lot of cortisol and adrenaline and things that deplete our energy and block our ability to be creative, to be even in our thinking brain, to even be really consciously aware of the decisions that we're making. And so a lot of times we are in that fight, flight, or freeze in our autopilot all the time. And it doesn't feel good in our body. And when we reset our nervous system, what we're doing is we're taking our brain out of that fight, flight, or freeze. We're stopping the production of cortisol. We're stopping the stress hormones. We're stopping all of those depleting neurochemicals. And we are getting back into that state of flow, that bliss, those beautiful neurochemicals, dopamine, serotonin, GABA, you know, all of oxytocin, these other chemicals that replenish us, that give us energy. And so it's in that stopping and getting out of that fight, flight, or freeze is what I mean whenever I say that.
And there's various tools that you have to do that, right? When you said oxytocin, I was just thinking, oh, just have more orgasms.
Yes.
That's a nervous system, you know. Is it a nervous system deregulator? Is that the term that we're using?
Yeah, I call it down-regulating.
Down-regulating.
You know, it's referred to as our sympathetic and our parasympathetic mind. And so the way that I remember this, because my brains are very like symbols. And so I add symbols to things. Parasympathetic, I think of a parachute. So whenever you have the parachute, that's whenever you're floating down safely. And sympathetic is the opposite of, so that's whenever I'm in my fight, flight, or freeze, right? And so that's when we shift. So we go into that, we get our parachute, our safety, we're in that state of ease of landing. We're not going to have a crash landing. We're going to ease down. And so, yeah, it's down regulating so that we're getting, we're reducing those depleting energy chemicals in our body.
Give us one or two examples of how you can down regulate the nervous system. Because I would imagine, you know, when you're in fight, flight, freeze, that's doubt, confusion, fear, resistance, all of that that entrepreneurs experience. And that takes you out of the creative mode. And when you're an entrepreneur, creation is where it all happens. So how do you down-regulate when you catch yourself in these negative emotional states to bring you back to a place of whatever, what would you call the place of peace and creation?
I call it flow. I call it flow. So, right, people say just breathe, just breathe. Breathing does down-regulate the nervous system. There's multiple different ways. There's which is that strictly teach breathing. The fastest, easiest breathing that I can share is actually breathing into your heart space, is actually putting your hand over your heart. And rather than taking deep breaths, filling up your belly, take the breath and visualize it going into your heart space. And as you're doing that, if you can bring up a memory, like actually go into a memory of a really replenishing or regenerating type of experience, a love. I go to my cat because I'm, even when my cat's bad, I still love him. He never pisses me off. So, you know, I tell people go to your fur babies because your husband's going to piss you off. Your kids are going to piss you off at some point. So we go to those memories or the beach or, you know, our happy place, you know, the place that feels good. And we visualize that as if we are in that moment as we're breathing into our heart space. And that will immediately pull you out and create a coherence between your heart and your brain, which is the energy that's flowing through your body, right? And so it creates a flow of your energy that puts you back into that creative state. That's my favorite breathing method. There's my favorite, the psychosensory, right, is whatever we combine touch with our brain. And so havening is a process that I use. And so if you think of the word havening came from the concept of a safe haven. So through touch, we create a safe haven for our nervous system. And so you can do it just as simply as rubbing your hands together, like as if you were like applying lotion or washing your hands, just gently washing your hands or running your fingers through your hair. You can run your fingers through your hair. This is my favorite one. And it reminds me of when we take showers, right? We have a really bad day. And this is where I want to point out how intuitive our brains are and how when we listen to ourselves, we have the answers. We have a really, really bad day. What do we want to do? We want to go wash it off, right? Like, I just need to go take a hot shower and I need to go wash it off. When we do that, the feeling of bliss is when the water hits our head and we just allow it to hit our head. And we think, your thinking brain thinks that it's that we're washing all of that away. It's the warm water. No, it is not. It is the fact that that water is hitting your head. And in that area of your head, you are, as it's hitting there, it's activating delta brainwaves, which our delta brainwaves are our slowest brainwaves, the brainwaves that are the most elevated when we're in our deepest level of non-dreaming sleep. And these are the brainwaves that move our memories around. And when they are active, we're producing oxytocin, serotonin, dopamine, GABA. We're producing all of these beautiful neurochemicals that just flood our body. And that's why showers feel so good whenever you do that. But you can achieve that right here on Zoom with your hands below the surface. If you're on a call and you're nervous, all you have to do is just rub your hands together gently as you're just like allowing yourself to calm down. And you think about it. And I used to hear this like, oh, she's wringing her hands with worry. Well, that's an intuitive way that people know that we produce delta brainwaves by doing this, and it downregulates all of those that fight, flight, or freeze ticks up in our body. And it allows us to come back to that state of ease, that state of flow with our nervous
and
system.
It's probably also why we have our best ideas in the shower, right? People always come out of the shower and say, oh my God, I had these best ideas, because you got out of your head and you started producing different brain waves, which enabled things to move around. And so you're literally thinking differently. You're accessing more of the unconscious material and coming up with more creativity, more ideas, because you have downregulated your nervous system by allowing that water to hit your head. That is absolutely phenomenal and incredible. You talked before, when we first got started, you talked about shifting your identity. It was when you talked about giving up drinking alcohol and making different choices. Can we talk about shifting your identity? Because if someone thought about, well, I need to change my personality or shifting my identity, what does that mean? It feels like it might be hard or impossible, or there's no rule book for that. What do you mean by shifting your identity?
Well, I'll go directly into that example of whenever I stop drinking. A lot of times whenever we think about how to make change, I like to talk about identity as it relates to change. Because when we think about change, if you think about it in a pyramid shape, a hierarchy, right? At the very bottom level, we have environment. And if we try to make change at the environment level, there's a lot of places. So stopping drinking. If I had to go, okay, I'm not going to drink when I'm with this person. I'm not going to drink when I'm with this person. If I had to individually address figuring out how to not drink with every person that's in my life, or every restaurant that I went to, or every situation in my life, it's a lot of change that I'm trying to make. And that's really hard, right? And so there's this hierarchy, and we've got our environment, our skills, our capabilities, our values and beliefs, and our identity. And then even above our identity is greater than us. And so it's when we go at least to identity, if not greater than us. So this is where purpose and cause can also change our results in life. When we change our identity, when we choose to take on a different identity, and I'll unpack that in a second. When we do that, what happens is it's trickle down, because now with that identity changing, I change my beliefs and my values, which then change my capabilities, what I'm capable of doing, learning, experiencing, which then changes my behavior, which then affects all of the environments that I'm in my life. So in this instance, I decided I was struggling with, am I an alcoholic? And this was a question, and I did not like having that conversation with myself. And I hate titles. And this is the other thing, is I hate titles, because whenever we give ourselves a title, we create the values and beliefs behind it, which then create the capabilities, which then create the behavior. And so if I choose an identity that I don't like, I'm reinforcing all of those beliefs, behaviors, and I'm making the change hard. So if I choose an identity that fits with the change that I want to make, then I now have different beliefs, I have different values, which changes, trickles down into my capabilities, my behaviors, and all of the environments that I'm in. So in this instance, I said, well, what is the behavior of an alcoholic? And I didn't know this process. I did not know this modality at the time. Whenever I heard this and it was taught to me, I was like, that's how it works. Again, validating that we have the answers within ourselves. But whenever I heard this, so it was, if I don't like title, then I need to decide what is the behavior, what is the definition of that title. So I decided, okay, well, to me, my definition of an alcoholic is someone that doesn't know how to stop. So for me, and it's different for everybody. And for me, I said, okay, so if I go to one drink a day, then I must not be an alcoholic. So then I went to one drink a day, and I found that every day, whenever I dealt with stress, when I dealt with challenges, when someone pissed me off, the first thing that came to mind was the margarita that I was going to have at the end of the day. And that allowed me to get through my day. And then I realized, well, maybe I'm still a drinker. I don't like that identity either, because I have a dependency on that drink is what's getting me that thought of that relaxation is getting me through to the end of the day. And so I decided, well, so it's the relaxation that I want. It's the peace that I want. So what do I need to be instead? So I don't want to be a drinker. I don't want to be an alcoholic. I don't want any of those titles. I want to trust myself. I want to believe in myself. I want to love myself. And so whenever I put this up at the highest identity of I love myself, I am in love with me. I am taking care of myself. Whenever I chose that, it changed all of my values. It changed all of my beliefs, which changed my capabilities, which changed my behavior. It made it so easy to go, no, I don't drink. And there was a moment, it was really hard. I walked into my favorite Mexican food restaurant that I would go to probably like 5 times a week. And they sensed whenever I entered the room, because my margarita would already be on the bar before I even got up to the bar. I had to tell them, like, please don't make me one until I ask for one again. And they were hurt because they liked to serve. You know, they love to help me wind down at the end of the day. And so I had to ask them, can you make me a soda water with lime mist? And until I ask you for something different. And in that moment, I realized I had made that shift, because I was no longer a drinker. I was no longer an alcoholic. Instead, I was in touch with myself. I was being true to me. A good example also is just not eating wheat. Like, I'm gluten-free. When you choose to take that identity, I'm gluten-free, it's a whole lot easier to say, no, I don't eat bread. No, I don't eat cake, because it has gluten in it. It's so much easier, right? So the identity creates the ease of the behavior and all of the different aspects of your life.
Wow. So the choice, the initial choice point, is choosing a new identity. And then the ripple effect is that the other choices that follow it become so much easier, right? And so, you know, you, for the people who are listening, you've made a choice or thinking about making a choice to start a business as an entrepreneur, and that is a new identity. And so that will have a ripple effect of different choices along the way. When someone offers you a job, instead of saying, oh my God, yes, I love that regular paycheck. Maybe you're saying something different, like, no, I've made a different choice. I'm going to make money my way. I'm going to become the creator of my own destiny. So it's very interesting. Rebecca, I could talk to you forever and would love for you to just share a little bit about how do you work with people. I'm sure that this has piqued the interest of many who are listening to this who want to choose a different identity. And I think that's a beautiful place to wrap up our interview and talk about how to work with you and how you put those pieces in place so that you can make these new choices.
Yeah. So I have a group coaching program that's coming up. It's really an immersive program of group coaching, mentorship, and private one-to-one coaching that really helps people in that it's really tapping into awakening their authenticity so that they can step into their personal power, so that they can really unlock the magic, the science behind their unconscious mind to help create programs and strategies that are serving them. And through the community, through the real life applications, talking about how do we apply these teachings and learnings into real life, we have full integration. So that's coming up starting on August 1st. And I also am really excited about a retreat that I'm hosting in October that is really in those moments where you know that what you have is not where you want to be, and you want to explore, how do I find more purpose? How do I find more meaning in my daily life? What is that identity, right? What is the identity that I want to take on to allow me to live that fulfilling, impactful, meaningful life? This retreat is called Soul Purposeful. And I'm so excited to say that it's actually held in Carefree, Arizona. And there is literally the town is called Carefree.
I love it.
Coming up in October, and all of this you can find on my website, Marka Vita, and it's Mark A-H, so M-A-R-K-A-H, Vita, V-I-D-A, and I like to say it's Marka Vita. It's your life brand with the little in it. So you can find that on my website, and you can also follow me on Instagram. Again, it's just Marka Vita, Facebook, Marka Vita, LinkedIn. You can find me on Marka Vita. You can find me in all of those places. And then for people that are really looking for that liberation and they're really stuck and they're not ready for grief environments and stuff, I do private coaching. I do one-to-one coaching because sometimes we'll need that private personal guidance to really concentrate on liberating ourselves. And that is something that I also love to offer because I love that transition. Whenever people go into that aha moment, that they have all of the power within themselves.
Yes. I think, you know, that's a primary takeaway is that you have all the power within yourself to change. You just need to be able to unleash it. And if you don't have the tools, then working with Rebecca will help you access the tools so that you can create a new identity, create a new consciousness, and download a new program. And speaking of programs, you also have an app, because you actually
did
create an app. You started all of this by wanting to learn programming, and you ended up learning about how to program the mind, and then you create an app. Tell us about the app.
Yeah, so the app is it is a complement and to the personal coaching and different things, but the version that I offer to the world, and it will always be free because I'm so passionate about helping people, is that it is daily bookends is what I call it. So it's the program within the Marka Vita app, and it is just called Marka Vita again. And the daily bookends is a journal prompt for the morning and for the evening that asks questions through simple reflection will rewire your brain. It will reprogram your brain to make life easier and to be in more of a state of flow, to find those moments that bring purpose and meaning in your life. So I do invite anyone to download that app. I personally use it every day myself. And it originally started because I needed it as a tool for myself to create intention in my day. And so it helped me on that entrepreneur road because sometimes you can go down rabbit holes and stuff. And so being able to bookend my day and really stay focused on intention and identity, who I am, when I'm at my best, all of those things, it was a great tool for me, which is why I decided to open it up for everybody.
And how revolutionary, a free app, you know, and one that will actually help you be more of what you want, create more of what you want in your life and be more of who you want to be. Rebecca Hogan, so great to have you on Life After Corporate. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Deb.
That's it for now, my friends. We will see you next time on Life After Corporate. And until then, figure out who you want to be and then connect with Rebecca and join her on retreat or in one of her programs so that you can get the tools you need to make more of the choices that you want to make. More later. Take care, everyone. Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.